Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Terry Lutz, Director, Electronic Tax Administration at the Internal Revenue Service. Joining us on our conversation is Jim Cook, another PwC partner.
Terry, we've talked a lot about e-filing and e-government, and it seems to me that from a strategic standpoint, really what you're spending a lot of time doing is looking at e-services from an IRS perspective. What I'd be interested in finding out is how you're dealing with the other aspects of an e-services program, because it is much more than just the technology component.
The direction that we're taking now is we're trying to look at the entire set of interactions, and we've divided interactions with taxpayers into really three categories, and these are fairly obvious: pre-filing, filing, post-filing. And there's very different types of activities that occur at each of those stages in the tax process. And we're looking and analyzing the nature of the type of interactions that taxpayers have with the service at each one of those levels, and how to offer a variety, how to maximize the use of technology, to offer taxpayers different options, and I think in many cases better options, in terms of how to interact with us. For example, in the pre-filing, one of the most powerful tools we've got is our IRS.gov website that we created back in 1996. It was created by our forms and publications folks as a new way of distributing forms and publications, and it's been very, very powerful in that arena. What we have not done up to this point is really talked about, well, what else could we do with that? For example, we get last year we got an excess of 10 million telephone calls that we could not answer. We've never really analyzed the web in terms of how can we reduce demand on the telephone lines so that we can take pure information or tax law information questions and maybe answer those on the web. So we're trying to get focused on business value out of our website is one of the key things that we're looking at, is just basically the informational website, which can have some simple calculators, completing your W-4 around how many exemptions you can have and determining what form you need to fill out if you're going to fill out a form. To really do those. One of the things that we started this year and we're going to do more in the future, for example, there's a lot of errors that people make on returns when they file on paper that they could avoid if they filed electronically. But on the web, things like what are the 10 most common errors being made in tax returns this year and how to avoid those so that you actually can deliver value for the customer and value for the organization using that piece. So that's one set. Second set are the transactional items. In addition to filing returns, businesses make payments. There are businesses that have to make a tax payment every day because of the size of the depository taxes that they have to pay. A business have to apply for an employer identification number. Taxpayers apply for copies of transcripts of the return if they've lost a copy of the return for educational student loan purposes and so forth. We're looking at all those transactions and how we can use particularly the web to meet those needs, then back to our infrastructure, these legacy systems, and the right sequencing plan to ultimately offer all those services, make all those services available electronically. Later this year, we anticipate, through the prime contractor, offering the first non-filing services. We're anticipating within a couple of weeks here, taxpayers will be able to go on the internet and check on the status of whether we have their return and the status of their refund on the internet, something we've never been able to do before. Later this year, we will be able to, third parties with a power of attorney, be able to provide transcripts of taxpayers' returns that they request, and we'll actually be able to do secure email with tax professionals who have a power of attorney to represent their client so they can interact by email. And that's just the first of a whole series of kinds of interactions that we ultimately can make available via the web to make the whole process better for everyone.
I wonder if you could just take me through some of the fundamentals here in terms of thinking through the advantages both for the customers and for your agencies in terms of moving transactions to the electronic realm. How do you think about the win-win, I guess?
There's two ways of approaching this, and I think in the early days we were doing this sort of as a pilot to see what would happen, but I think a lot of times a government agency and probably a business focuses on what can we get out of it. And so we say, here's a problem we've got. We need to save money. We need to save resources. Or we may say taxpayers are having a lot of problems here and we can't deal with those. Let's use a tool. What I advocate is taking a different approach to it. I believe if you put yourself in the taxpayer's shoes, and most of us IRS employees ought to be able to do that, we're supposed to be able to, in the taxpayer's shoes, or remembering that 57% of individual taxpayers and 80% of businesses use a tax professional, in the shoes of the tax professional, and then look at the process outward in. And I think if we meet, I believe we've got plenty of evidence that if we meet the needs of the taxpayers and their representatives, we're going to automatically get the benefits, and we'll get them much faster because we'll have designed something that people want to use. Rather than the old 1040 e-file, we designed it and then we went out and tried to convince people that it was really good. If you design it right, you don't have, you know, if something's good enough, people will steal it from you. They don't have to ram it down their throats. And so we're trying to take that approach that, and let me just give you a simple example of that. By e-filing a tax return, we reduce errors. It's not like doing a tax return. Many of the software packages, even if you do it yourself, you answer a series of interview questions. You don't even realize you're doing a tax return. And at the end of the process, you've got the data that creates a return. The accuracy checks are there. You don't get notices. You don't get letters from IRS. And you get a guarantee that your return's been filed. We give you an acknowledgement number back. You know they got it. I'm done. I don't have to worry about this till next year. You're happy. But we get benefits, too. Naturally, as a result of that, fewer notices to mail out, less data entry to do, less errors to correct. There's benefits on both sides. It's a question of where you start from, and I think you really start from the customer and back in. And then the other thing that you do is the biggest mistake that many people coming to this initially do, here's the paper process. How do we make the paper process electronic? Big mistake. Big mistake. Many of these processes, it's interesting because I would dare say in many government agencies, probably a lot of private companies, if you go and ask them why is the paper process the way it is, try to find the answers to those questions. They're very, very, sometimes you won't find anybody that will be able to answer for some part of that process, I'll guarantee you. So one of the things that we do is we sort of determine what's the customer need, what's the customer want, what's the customer value out of this, and then we come back and we look at our internal processes and say, because we did it that way and paper does not mean. We've made a number of significant changes in IRS regulations as a result of starting to make a process electronic. Third-party signatures, for example. Why do we need third-party signatures on stuff? You don't transcribe a signature. If you're going to audit the taxpayer, they're required to produce the information anyway. We've changed the regulations. We've changed business processes, and then you build your electronic application after you've done all of that.
Terry, you've talked about taking the customer's perspective and then looking back in to determine how to provide value. Talk a little bit about some of the mechanisms and forums you're using with industry and with private citizens to understand that perspective.
We've done a number of things. Let me just give you a couple of examples. On the individual taxpayer side with this program that we built back in the mid-80s, we have been doing year after year since 1997 a lot of market research. We have a marketing firm. We have an internal research organization. We're continually doing customer surveys about what they like, what they don't like, what improvements, what keeps them from e-filing, why do they e-file. And that's how we've been improving the 1040. On the business side, where we're developing a new program, and let me just reference our 1120 project for corporate returns, where before we've even had one line of code written in terms of how this is going to work, we've been out, we've visited with corporate taxpayers. I've personally spent time in the tax department, one of the largest corporations in this country, trying to understand their processes. We've got a number of large companies that sit on sort of a steering group. Motorola Corporation is one that comes to mind that's actually volunteered. Tax Executive Institute, which is an organization that represents the tax heads of the large corporations in the country, AICPA. Again, most of these returns are filed by professionals that do this. We've also include the software companies, and not just the tax software companies. A critical thing is we're including the accounting software companies. SAP is part of the steering effort there so that we can make sure that the accounting software and the tax software, based on these data standards we're going to establish, work together. So we're trying to do everything we can to guarantee that when this thing rolls out, it's something everybody wants. Everybody feels like they've got the buy-in to it, and that it will get the automatic use as a result of that. So it's a rigorous process. It's very different than the insular. We're the government, and we'll decide what we need, and we'll tell you all that. That is not the approach that we're taking at all today.
What's the role of incentivizing either people or corporations to be involved electronically? One day, might you get a rebate for filing electronically?
Well, I'm not sure. That has been proposed a couple of times as an incentive for a short period of time. Frankly, that's a political decision. But further, though, I think there's a number of things that we can continue to do to make the program grow aside from that. One interesting side point is some of the research that we've had has said that you would assume that price is a major determinant here, but we have some indications that this is the price elasticity in terms of how and its impact of price on how taxpayers make decisions is not that great. For example, you would think that people who paid $300 to a tax professional, once they can buy $30 software to do the same thing, would go to the $30 software. That's not what happens. People either choose to do a professional, or I'm going to do it using software, I'm going to do it at my kitchen table. And so what we're looking at is the again, market research, very private sector type research. What are the things that would incentivize people? What would encourage them? What are the marketing messages that sway the day? And we think reducing tax burden, faster refunds, and the administration's proposal to extend the due date for balance due taxpayers so they can hold their money longer are the kinds of things that will have probably more impact than a rebate, which would probably be relatively small.
It's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation about management with Terry Lutz of the IRS. As our citizens become more comfortable with technology, we have to wonder what this means for the future of the IRS. We'll ask Terry for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour continues.